You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan is one of the 15 states plus the District of Columbia with a third-grade reading retention law. Starting in 2020, a third grader who doesn't meet a certain reading proficiency level will have to repeat that grade. My next guest has been studying just what this law could mean for students who are English language learners, ELL students. Paula Winke is with Michigan State University's Second Language Studies program. It's so good to have you with us, Paula.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you recently unveiled research into this very question about ELL students and the third grade reading law. What question were you seeking to answer with your research?
At Michigan State University, my colleague Xiaowan Zhang and I, we work with a lot of teachers who are teaching ELLs in the Michigan public schools. And we were wondering, if this law passes, which it did, how is it going to affect English language learners in the state of Michigan? How would it affect our colleagues who are teaching ESL in the public schools? How would it affect their jobs? And we actually wanted some numbers. How many kids in their classrooms would be set to repeat third grade?
And how do you go about that? I understand you were looking at test data and trying to kind of extrapolate what would happen. How do you go about that?
Well, what we thought we would do is apply the law as it's written to the last set of test data that was available, and that was the spring 2016 data from the Michigan Department of Education. They have a formal program where researchers can go through a process of requesting access to the data without names. And we did that. We requested data for all of the third grade children in the state of Michigan who took the test in 2016. We then applied the law to the data to see if the law had been in effect in 2016, what would it have done to the ELL, the English language learner population?
As you understand it, what was the reasoning behind this third grade reading law?
Well, there's a lot of theory about how children in general, not just English language learners, learn to read. And these state retention laws that are in 14 different states in the District of Columbia all have the same tenet. They have the same foundation. And it's based on research that's shown that third graders, they undergo a transition from learning to read to reading to learn. And the theory is that if by third grade you're not proficient in reading, you're going to be less able to learn the fourth grade content, that in fourth grade you are learning a content-based curriculum, and you need to be able to read proficiently or at a high enough level to be academically successful.
What is the reading level, Paula, that would determine whether that youngster repeats third grade or moves on to fourth grade?
Well, according to the law, it's third graders who read below grade level reading shall not pass on to fourth grade. It's up to the Michigan Department of Education to set that threshold to actually create a cut score in the Michigan reading test. It would be the English Language Arts test on the M-STEP. There has been a lot of proposals, and according to the legislation, the language that's used in the statute is that it's children who are below the proficient mark. So we took that in our data when we were applying the cut score to the 2016 data, and that's children who are at level one or level two on the M-STEP. So they're either labeled as not proficient or partially proficient. But the Michigan Department of Education has not yet officially stated what the official cut point will be.
So take us to what you found as far as the potential impact of this law on ELL students. What did you learn?
If we use that cut point that's commonly accepted as what we think will be the cut between level two and three, anyone below proficient, what we found is that out of all of the children in the state of Michigan who are English language learners, there are about 9,000 of them. We also wanted to look at how many different home languages they have. By getting the data from the Michigan Department of Education, we found out we're talking about 131 different home languages. And we did set the pass rate, and for these almost 9,000 children in the state of Michigan, only 31% of them will pass.
Some may ask, is it such a bad thing if a child isn't reading at the appropriate level that he repeats third grade and gets better at reading before moving up to fourth grade? You know, I guess I'm wondering, is that idea any different for ELL students?
Yes, and I think that this is what really made us feel the urgency in conducting this research is that the theories on English language learners and how they progress in reading, it's a very different story from the regular monolingual English population. That we know from second language acquisition literature and research in Canada on bilingualism that children who are learning two languages at the same time, especially in the early years, kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth grade, they lag behind in their English reading skills because they're building up so much vocabulary, grammar, while they're still learning their home languages as well. And that bilingual development shows up in a slowdown of reading acquisition, but only for a certain amount of time. Children have that lag for 3 to 7 years, but then after that, they start to progress very quickly in reading in the language of instruction, and they end up leapfrogging their peers. So there are cognitive benefits that show up later in life that are extremely beneficial from having that bilingual background. And that theory, that mapping of how English language learners progress in reading, is not represented by the law. In the third grade reading retention laws, the theory that they're based on are more general commonalities with monolingual speakers. It doesn't really map onto what English language learners do. There are a lot of research papers out there, qualitative and quantitative ones, but mostly qualitative, on what happens to a child when they are held back in third grade. By that time, they've had their social unit set up. They're, you know, very happy with their peers. And there is a lot of evidence that they can be psychologically harmed. And actually, retention that has been studied has shown that it leads to a reduction in the graduation rate in high school.
Do you feel that this law needs to be adjusted in some way to allow for ELL students and the way they're learning?
That would be great. There are provisions written in the law such that there's a couple that are key for English language learners. The first one is that English language learners, if they've had less than 3 years of instruction in English, their parents can apply for a good cause exemption. And the way it's written in the law is the parent will get a letter in the mail giving the parent the child's test score. And the Michigan Department of Education will be sending that letter, and the letter will be in English, and it will say your child has been slated to repeat third grade, but you have 30 days in which to apply to the superintendent of your school to ask for a good cause exemption if your child has had less than 3 years of English language instruction.
So you're afraid that letter is going to hit a mailbox and the parent won't understand it?
Yes, especially since I mentioned that there are 131 different home languages. And the largest 5 groups of languages that we looked at were Spanish, Arabic, Bengali, Albanian, and Chinese. Those are the largest English language learner subgroups in Michigan. And I think what we can ask teachers to do, and maybe the state of Michigan, is to make sure that letter can be translated into those different languages. The law does state that school districts can send an additional letter to the families to explain the content of the letter written in English from the Michigan Department of Education. So we think ELL teachers and school districts need to get proactive in identifying the first graders who are in their classes now. What are their home languages, and will you be able to translate those letters or communicate to those parents the content of the letter that will come from the Michigan Department of Education?
Paula, you have said this law, you see it as a social experiment. What do you mean by that?
Well, this type of mass retention of holding back, you know, up to 70% of all English language learners in the state when they are in third grade is something that really has not been studied. And looking at the numbers, we became worried because the retention policy will hit in certain demographic groups more strongly. It will hit males because boys tend to do a little bit worse on standardized tests for whatever reason of socialization, I'm not sure. And so when we look at boys, their pass rate dips below 30%, and girls in the English language learner population hover around 34%. But it gets worse if the boys are from economically disadvantaged families. Then their pass rate goes down even further to 25%. And it's even worse if they are Spanish native speakers. Then their pass rate goes down to less than 20%. So it's Spanish and Arabic speaking children who we found the lowest pass rates. And those are our two largest English language learner populations in Michigan.
I guess, what do you think should happen now from this research that you've done? What do you hope happens?
Well, I think we can approach it in three ways. We can assume that the law will come into effect in 2020, and the first group of people that we can approach are the Michigan superintendents of the public schools, because they are the ones who are allowed to grant good cause exemptions for ELLs and other subgroups of students. English language teachers need to work with the superintendents in identifying the native languages of the parents of the ELL children who are in first grade now. They'll be the first wave of children affected in 2020. And to get them ready with templates, letters that they will have prepared, because we already know by the numbers don't lie. Even with the extra instruction that's being put in place now, there will still be large percentages of ELLs who will qualify for the exemption but yet need to apply for it. And there's a provision in the law saying that superintendents can approve an alternative assessment measure. So we know that English language learners in the state of Michigan are required to take the WEDA English Language Proficiency Assessment alongside the general M-STEP reading assessment, the English Language Arts Test. And we would like to propose that that WEDA test be looked at as a approved alternative measure for ELLs.
It sounds like you there's work to be done in kind of getting the case made to the superintendents for the ELL students in their districts.
Yeah, the superintendents could also approve a portfolio or any other type of alternative measure for any child if they wanted to. But those alternative instruments haven't been identified or approved, and superintendents and English language learning teachers in the state could work to get those on board before the law comes into effect.
Paula Winke with Michigan State University, the Second Language Studies Program. I want to thank you so much for sharing your work with us on Stateside today.
Thank you very much.
So how are school districts and teachers preparing for a potential surge in English language learners who may be held back because of the third grade reading retention law? Suzanne Tuohy develops curricula and assessment for English language learners for Oakland schools, and she's with us now. Suzanne, how many ELL students do you think you have in Oakland schools?
We have approximately 15,000 English learners in Oakland County.
That's a sizable number. And how do you think that this third grade reading retention law might affect those students in your district?
Our districts have been preparing to support the English learners and their families regarding the law. We've been preparing since the law was enacted, and from the ground level up, working on programming to support English learners, interventions that are appropriate for English learners, and providing professional learning through the county and ISD to support the educators who are teaching those students. There are, within the law, there are some loopholes or good cause exemptions that English learners qualify for based on certain criteria. So this is not just for English learners, but for any student who maybe doesn't reach proficiency on the third grade exam. So if an English learner teacher or a gen ed teacher or a parent or someone else in the child's life says, I want to request this good cause exemption, this student shouldn't be retained due to various factors, they can request that exemption, and it's ultimately up to the superintendent or the superintendent's designee to determine whether or not to grant the good cause exemption.
So someone more there on the ground, it's not going up to Lansing to have someone there decide.
That's correct. It's, I anticipate, although we don't know for sure because it's not, that decision's not upon us yet, but I would anticipate the educational team for the student would make those decisions. So for the case of English learners, I would imagine that the general education teacher and the English learner teacher or support or administrator would work together to make those decisions on which students they should request a good cause exemption for.
How can a district plan ahead, looking down the line in a couple of years, the idea of having youngsters repeating third grade when you don't know how they're going to fare on the assessment test? What kind of planning goes into that?
So the districts are encouraging their teachers to participate and taking them through some professional learning to increase their proficiency as educators in providing literacy instruction. We're also, outside of that piece, looking at how can we best educate parents, and my role, particularly the parents of English learners. So we're looking at some read-at-home plans, some supporting literacy development at home, which includes educating parents about the benefits to continued education in the first language. The stronger student skills are in literacy in the first language, the stronger their skills will be in English. And so continuing to work with parents as our allies to include the reading at home and literacy development at home practices, the districts are doing that work as well with families. They're also preparing some materials that need to go out to families. So the information letter, for example, about what is this reading law and how might it affect my child, we at the Oakland County level have developed translations of that original document in 12 languages so that our districts don't have to spend their resources doing that. Individual districts, everyone needs, let's say, Arabic, everyone needs Spanish. So here we've developed kind of some templates that they can use. And so we're planning to continue that kind of work so that we can work together collaboratively around these resources we need to share with families in multiple languages.
Suzanne, do you feel this law is a good idea? I mean, to have a youngster repeat third grade if he or she is not hitting that certain standard in reading assessment tests?
It's very complicated because there's a lot of research that says that retention is not effective. It's not an effective intervention. But I do think that a focus on students' literacy is a fortunate byproduct of the law, that we are now, because of the law, required to look at writing individual reading improvement plans for students, and English learners are benefiting from that focused look, intensive look at instruction in literacy.
So overall, are you feeling confident that when the law kicks in and it's time to take this test, that third graders in your district are in Oakland schools are going to do all right and move on up?
It's really hard to say, and I think it's early. We're just in the first year of doing the required diagnostic and interim assessments. So it's really hard to predict, and the cut scores for the MSTEP have changed frequently over the years. So it's sort of, I think it's difficult to predict how the students will fare. I do think there are some workarounds in place so that we have a fair look at the student's overall performance. So if the student doesn't score passing or proficient on that one snapshot, there are alternate pathways to meet those requirements, and there are workarounds for students who have IEPs or students who are English learners who haven't received the 3 years of instruction in the program. But I think at this point, it's really difficult to predict.
But at least you've got some ramp-up time, so this just didn't descend suddenly.
Yes, and our districts, once we saw that this was the law was passed, we immediately went into problem-solving mode. How can we get ahead of it? What can we do to prepare teachers? What can we do to prepare parents so that we can do as much in advance of that 2019-2020 deadline so that we can make sure our students are as prepared as possible for that exam?
Suzanne Tuohy develops curricula and assessment for English language learners for Oakland Schools. It was great talking with you, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
Thank you.